know, this week's going to be a week of meetings. I just believe that if we're going to see God move, I think, you know, we need to show God that we're serious about this. Because if he doesn't see that we're serious, you know, this whole week he may not show up. You know, many times you travel around the different places and you just sit there and you wonder, gosh, why didn't God show up? You know, God didn't show up because people weren't serious in their heart. And he knows the foolishness that's in man's heart. He said he's the one who tries the reins. And I'm just telling you, God's getting tired of this foolishness. But anyway, if you turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8, you know, I usually don't put a title on my message, but I did this one. It's called, What Will Devour You? What's going to devour you? What's going to take control of you? What's going to be the downfall in your life? What's going to be the one thing? Listen, you have to understand the word devour, doesn't just mean simply to slap away or to put down. I mean, it's absolute and total destruction. And that's what the devil, that's what his plan is, and that's what he wants to do. But anyway, turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8. And if I could, Doug, would you open us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, we thank you that we're all able to gather in the house of God tonight. Thank you for the glorious singing to you, sir. We pray that you be with Dale as he delivers the message. Thank you for the blessings of this day and everything. Thank you. Give you thanks and praise for it all.
Tim, anytime you think you need to, you can just, you know, get up, get in the glory, and, you know, do a praise break, brother. Don't be ashamed of that, brother. Anyway, the word says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says we're to be sober, and that's just not talking about drinking. It's talking about our thinking. Our clear thinking. We have to have clear... Listen, as a Christian, all these things, all these worldly things, all these things from the devil can come into our hearts and come into our minds, and it can cloud our thinking. He says you got to be sober in that thinking. Not only does he say you have to be sober in it, but you have to be vigilant in that thing, in that being sober. Because it's not always just going to come naturally. I know my thoughts, even as a saved man, that my thoughts are not always sober thoughts.
Right.
And I have to be vigilant and keeping that under subjection. I have to be vigilant and seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to be vigilant in reading my Bible. I have to be vigilant in prayer. I have to be vigilant. Why? Because I'm just telling you now, as a saved man, I can get myself entangled again in the things of the world. My thoughts start wandering off, and you can just see that I'm starting to fall by the wayside, and things are going wrong in my life. Why? Because I've let that sobriety in my mind, I let that clear thinking be gone. So he says, you got to guard that thing. And it says, we need to keep our minds and thoughts clear and be vigilant in doing so. When our minds are set not on the things of God, our hearts and our desires will follow. And that opens the door for the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You understand? When you get your mind and your thoughts are not in the where they're supposed to be, that opens the door for the devil to come in and start putting his attacks on you. Absolutely. It opens that door for him to come in there and start making you think the way you normally wouldn't think. Romans 7, Paul makes it clear, there's things, the things I don't want to do that I do. The things I don't want to do are the things that I do want to do, I don't do. You see, how would you recognize the things that you're doing? How would you recognize you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing? You got to have sober thinking. You got to be vigilant in that sober thinking. I'm just telling you now, too many Christians put that by the wayside. Too many Christians are just laying that aside like it's not even a big deal anymore. But I believe he put that word vigilant there for a reason. We have to guard that thing. And so anyway, Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We must stand vigilant and sober-minded with the Word of God to defeat the devil. You understand? He says the helmet of salvation, there has to be a protection when you're as a saved person. Listen to me. You got to put that helmet because the devil's going to come at you with all these ploys. He's going to attack you with all these worldly things. And as a saved person, we have to stand strong and keep our mind clear. I just tell you this, when my mind is not right, when I'm not doing the things that are right, I can't hear the voice of God. It's too drowned out by everything else that's in my mind. It's too drowned out by the things that are in my heart. That opens the doors, and I'm telling you, it's a spiritual warfare. It says, you see, what's it say here? The sword of the Lord. What is that? It's the word. The word of God. The word. So many people, I was telling my teens today at Sunday school, I said, what has taken residence in your mind? What has taken up so much space in your heart that you don't even want to sit there and learn a memory verse? You have to learn one a month. What's taken so much precedence that you'll put God in second place? That's okay. That's what it is in Christianity today. People have taken God for where He's supposed to be, and that's first place in our hearts and our minds and our lives, and they've put Him in second and third and fourth place and wonder why we're in the mess we're in today. What is taken? There's 168 hours in 1 week. I don't remember how many hours that is in a month. But you mean to tell me you can't get in your Bible? You can't give out of 168 hours a week. You can't give God that time, but you're expecting Him to bless you. You're expecting Him to change your life. You're expecting Him to do this and that, and you're not even serious about what He asked you to do. The small things. Not even serious. I'm just telling you. How do we defeat the devil? Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel 6. Let me walk you through a few things here the Lord showed me this week. On how me and my family are going to get things right. How do I get, you know, I was sitting there praying the other day. I said, Lord, I'm a mess right now. My family's a mess. We've been going through a spiritual battle. I mean, just going through it, one thing after another. If it's not this, it's that. If it's not family, and so on, it just keeps going and going. I said, Lord, help. I need your help. And He gave me Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 19. It's a prayer. Daniel's praying to God. I went in my room and I shut the door and I said, Lord, I'm praying your word back to you. I'm praying your word back to you. And you know, I just went through it verse by verse and I prayed it back to God. I said, this is your word. This is what you're telling me that I can trust. This is what I'm supposed to lean on. This is what I'm supposed to believe in. This is how I'm supposed to walk. This is your word and you have to make it real in my life. You have to help me. I'm asking you, and you said you're a very present help in a time of need. I'm in a time of need for me and my family right now. And I need you to come in and I need you to get in our life. I got up, shut my Bible. I went and got on my lawnmower. Now, most of you might think this is funny, but I got on my lawnmower and I was riding my lawnmower. I put some good Christian music on. The Christian music I listen to doesn't have beats and drums. I don't dance to it. I don't feel like I should dance to it or anything else. But I put them headphones on, and the Lord just started speaking to my heart. He just started speaking to my heart. You know, that could have been you, Dale. How good have I been to you? How unthankful have you been to me? How little of the glory have you been giving me? And I sat there in the morning when I'm asking God, oh my goodness, and He's just touching my heart. The tears are running down my face. I know it sounds funny, but I sat there on that lawnmower, Brother Tim. I ain't kidding you. As funny as this is going to sound, I worship the Lord right on that lawnmower, man. I had a good time with the Lord. He answered my prayer. He answered my prayer, and I went back in the house not too long after that. And I said, okay, Maury family, let's gather up. It's time to sit down. God gave us some answers, and now we need to implement these things in our family. And we sat down. That's what we do. We have family discussions. We have family prayer together. We don't walk out the door unless we all four of us join hands and we pray every single morning before anybody leaves my house. We pray at dinner time. We read Bible at dinner time. I believe in that. My kids, before they go to bed, their mother takes them to bed and she kneels down with them and she prays with them before they go to sleep at night. That's a lost thing in Christianity today. I'm just telling you it is. You know how I know that? Because so many people try to hide things in their life. And I'm going to tell you this now. The more you try to hide things, the more you expose yourself.
That's right.
The more you expose yourself. And I'm just telling you, you know, people aren't keeping that sober mind. They're not being vigilant about it. Daniel 6, verse 7 says, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. And whatsoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. When the world, when its leaders and the people turn on God and try to remove him and his ways from society, don't go with it. No matter what the cost, you can just sit back and you can look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to remove God from everything. Here's where the biggest issue is. Here's where the biggest problem lies, is that these so-called Baptist churches have removed God out of their own hearts. They have removed God out of their own houses. But yet they're worried about what the government does.
Right. Right.
Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, really? I tell people what they go, well, what church do you go to? And I'll say my church. They go, oh, that church? Yeah. Why do you think that is? It's because we let the devil and the world come into our homes. And we've let them annihilate everything. We've let them annihilate and take out the Word of God. We've let them take everything that means anything and destroy that in our lives. And we're okay with it. It's okay. I just lost a cousin who was 42 years old. She dropped dead. But nobody has problems in this world. Everything's okay. Everybody's all right. They don't see that what's going on. They don't understand what's going on. They don't care what's going on. All they want to do is what they want to do. Listen, the Bible says in Romans 1 that they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. This is why they want to take him out of everything. Why? Because if he's not there, they don't have to worry about being good. Listen, they know they're doing wickedly, but it doesn't bother them. As long as they get God out of the picture, they don't have to worry about answering to him. That's what they think. Why would you want to retain God in your knowledge? Listen, I'll tell you now, if there's a person sitting in this room that retains God in their knowledge, you won't do the things you're doing.
That's it.
But kick him out. Poop.
That's right.
You get him out and you'll do whatever you want to do. The lust of your hearts, the pride of life, all that baloney will come into you. Why? Because you're not retaining the knowledge of God in your mind. You're not retaining them in your heart. You just kick them to the curb. America has done that to God. I wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Wonder why we're in, we're such victorious Christians. When they legalized marijuana, when they let the sodomites take over, but we're such victorious Christians going on. We have so many saved people. Can you believe how many saved people we have today? The numbers I hear make me want to faint when I hear that garbage. Hey, I just preach it how I see it. I'm not afraid to say what I have to say. I'm just telling you. All this phony baloney makes me ill. You know why I say that? Because it almost sent me and that woman sitting right there to hell.
I see it.
Sent us straight slap to hell. Thank God. Thank God for a man who came and preached the King James Bible to me. Thank God that he protected me from this cesspool that man has taken and called it Christianity. Thank God that he prayed for me and my wife, that God would reveal what needed to be revealed. Thank God that God granted me and my wife repentance. Because he didn't have to. I surely didn't deserve it. But I thank God for it. No matter what the cost, don't follow. America has turned its back on God and has set man to be a god. Acts 12, 21 and 22 shows us this very thing. It says, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made oration unto them. And they said, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of man. You see, they set Herod up on a pedestal. And you know what they did? They said, he's a god. He's not a man. He's a god. He's not a man. He's a god. And that's what they're doing in America. They're setting man on that pedestal, and they're calling him a god. And they're not seeing him as a man. They're seeing him as a god. And they're following him, and they're following his ways. I'm just telling you. I told everybody today at the 1 o'clock service, I said, I love Pastor John Asquith with all my heart. I have the utmost respect for him. I love him. I think he has great wisdom. I listen to him. But the minute he starts stepping outside that Bible, then I'm not even listening anymore.
Amen.
I'm not. I'm not going to listen to what man says over God. I'm just telling you that right now.
Amen.
You know why? Because my whole life, that whole 40 years, that 17-page rap sheet, that being an ex-gang member, that being that drunk and that alcoholic and all, you know what? That's proof that I couldn't run my own life. That's proof that man didn't know what to do with me. But Jesus Christ did. It's proof of that. I live by that. And I'll die by that. Now, my brothers and sisters, they have some wisdom. I'm not saying they don't. But I'm telling you now, it better check with this. If not, don't even bring it to me. I'm not getting into the foolishness or the nonsense about it. I studied it. I used to read NIVs and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. It did nothing for me.
Amen.
Nothing for me. It says that we're saved by what? We're born again by an incorruptible seed. Okay, which one's the incorruptible seed then? You better believe it's the King James Bible. If you believe the NIV and all that can save somebody, then you're believing the corruptible seed can do that. I'm just telling you. I better not open a door. But I'm just telling you. The incorruptible Word of God. Born again by the incorruptible Word of God is what it says. I believe that. But this man being set on the throne and they're worshiping and calling him a god, that's going to be short-lived. If you read verse 23 in Acts 12, it says that immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. In the end, God's going to get the victory. He doesn't like us going around and people giving glory to another god. You see, I know a lot of people who call themselves King James Bible believers. But there's a whole different, listen, it's a whole different ball game just to be a believer and be a liver. You better live the King James Bible. You better breathe it. You better know it. You better love it. You better understand it. What's it say about Jesus Christ? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll never change. That's what it says. And tell me, why are they changing the Word of God then? Here's what happens. Here I am. The Lord reaches down in the slime pit and pulls me out. I start reading and loving the King James Bible. That thing starts bringing me up. It starts. I talk differently. I dress differently. I act differently. I think differently. I speak differently. All this. Well, so what's happening is God's bringing me up from the slime pits. And is bringing me up, up, up. Now here we go with all those other versions. They're trying to bring God down to their level. They're trying to bring God down to their level. That's why it's okay to go out and live any old way you want. And listen, it doesn't even phase. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus. You see, he's got an if. Any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you mean to tell me that Jesus Christ had to go on that cross and he had to die on that cross just to leave me the same old person I've always been?
Right.
I beg to differ. Listen, that word all, that pretty much surmises the whole thing. It's everything in your life's going to start becoming new. What's going to happen, he's going to show you something of yourself and say, I don't want that there. He's going to remove that and then he's going to put in what he wants there. That's where the all things become new part comes in. Thank God he didn't save me to leave me the same person I always have been.
Amen.
But let's follow man. Let's follow man. That's what man's going to do to you. He's going to tell you you're okay. They're going to coach you into believing something you in your heart you do not. I know that. I've had great men of God come up to me before I met John Asquith, and they were trying to coax me and my wife into believing that we were saved, and we knew we were not. Knew we weren't. Knew I was lost. But they'd have me all worked up on my emotions. They'd have me all worked up on these things that they were telling me. And let me just say this. They never had a Bible open next to me. Never had a Bible open next to us. It was all things that they were saying. I just couldn't get it settled in my heart. Something was missing. I got up and I still had that void in my life. I still had that black hole that I just couldn't fill no matter what. It just wasn't filled. And what, there was nothing there. October 10th, 2011, 9 1/2 East Main Street. I'm just telling you now, Jesus Christ came in and he filled that black hole. He filled that void in my heart and I ain't never been the same since. Never been the same since. I thank God for what he's done. I thank God for what he's still doing in my life. I thank God for his mercy and grace. That 42-year-old cousin of mine, that could have been me. I thank God that he had mercy on me, though. I thank God because I didn't deserve a beautiful wife and children that he gave me. I didn't deserve them. I deserve to burn in hell for eternity. But you know, in his love, and his compassion, and his long-suffering for me, I thank God that I didn't follow man. I thank God that the Lord sent somebody in my life that knew exactly how to preach a King James Bible to me, and that I would receive it. I believe that. Now, I never grew up in church. For those of you who don't know me, my mother didn't bring us to church. I didn't grow up with the Bible. And I thank God for that. You know why? Because I had to fall for all the nonsense that everybody falls for. And I'm not everybody does. Not everybody falls for it. But I just thank God that he saved me from the gutters. Because now I can look from the outside. I didn't have to be around all that stuff that these people are falling for today. You know why? I can see the truth and I don't have to have it hindered. I'm just saying. And I'm not. Listen, if you were raised in church and you're saved, hey, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for it. I'm just saying for me. Because I'm such a knucklehead and I'm such a hard head anyway. My goodness, it probably would have took a half eternity for me to even see anything. Pastor explained repentance real good today. He went into it in great detail. And he said, it's when you finally come and change your thinking to God, the way God thinks. I think he made that pretty simple. And when he said that, I just sat back and me and my wife always talk. Well, geez, how come that person can't see this? Or how come they, man, what is going on there? Because their eyes have not been opened yet. They have not reached the place of repentance in their life. They have still, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, and the God of this world has blinded the mind. He's got their minds blinded. They have not yet been opened to that yet. But I thank God that he's opened our eyes. Thank God. Jesus prayed because he knew what was going to happen to us that had to live on this in this world until he comes again. John 17, turn with me real quick. John 17, I'm going to read verses 15 through 18. John 17, 15 through 18. John 17, 15 through 18. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have I also sent them into this world. Until the Lord comes back and gets us out of this lion's den. He needs to sanctify us. But how does it say that it sanctifies us? Through his word. Through his word. I can tell you this now. I can vouch for this now. That if it wasn't me getting up and studying and reading and praying, that I would have no clue how to walk a Christian walk. And I still don't. I don't have it down. I don't have it perfect. But when Jesus Christ saved me, he knew that 40 years I lived for the flesh. 40 years I lived for the devil. I had no clue how to walk a Christian life. and he gave me some instructions, and it's called the Bible.
Right.
I believe that's my instructions on how to live a Christian life. I believe that's how I'm to learn how to raise a family. I believe that's how I'm supposed to learn how to make decisions, and you know, monetary decisions and so on and so on. I mean, that thing right there, I hear people all the time say, well, there's nothing to that Bible. No, I'm sorry to say, there's nothing to you. There's nothing to you. That's the problem.
Right.
There's something to that Bible.
Amen.
It's alive. It says it's alive. It's alive. It can show you the things. Listen, it can show you things that you never thought in your life you'd ever see. I'm just telling you now, what happens is most people, they don't want to see what God has to show them. It says that it will show you in James 1:20-25, they're looking in the mirror, they see it, and then they walk away and forget about what man they are. I'm just telling you, the Bible does that to you, man. It'll show you what you are. It'll show you what's in your heart. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to continue to walk away, or are you going to face that thing for the first time in your life? I didn't get saved until I learned how to face those things God was showing me. I couldn't just walk away and forget them. Because if I did, then nothing would have ever happened in my life. I had to face what I really was. You know, it finally came to the point where Jesus Christ showed me how he seen me. And when I seen how he seen me, it's been life changing. It's been life changing. I don't have any other way to explain it, but I'm just telling you this. He showed me myself the way he sees me, and I didn't like it. And for the first time in my life, I agreed with him. And I started seeing things in a different light in this world. I said, my goodness, you've been here this whole time. And I just kept brushing you off. Oh, that's what I am? I don't want to see it. I'm just telling you. You know why they turn to other Bibles? You go ahead and read them other things. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It will not show you what you are like the King James Bible will.
Yes. That's right.
I know that because I studied them for years. Years. I was telling Brother Tim McVeigh. I was locked up in prison. I was going to Catholic services and all. I had no clue. I've never been to church a day in my life. I had no clue. I was listening to T.D. Jakes and you know all that. I had no clue about nothing. And if somebody came up to me and they said, hey, come over here to the Hamburg tent meeting and to Hamburg here. They come in and preach every Thursday night. All right, I went. I had no clue. I didn't know what to expect or anything. But I know this, that very first time. Now, I knew nothing about a King James Bible and all that. But I know that man started preaching that King James Bible. And so, you know what happened? Within 5 or 6 months, I approached a gang leader and told them that I no longer want to be in the gang because of it. I know that much. I know that much. When he started preaching that King James Bible, there was something going on different in my heart. I didn't want to be a part of that stuff anymore.
Right.
And I was unsaved and I did that. And I had no clue about anything about the Bible, but I just knew one thing for sure. That the more I read it, the more somebody preached it, the more I said, oh man. I got out, sat underneath John Ashworth preaching out of 3.5-4 years. And I mean, the Lord just hammering and working and hammering and working. I'd go down to the altar. I don't know how many times I professed to be saved. How many times that I just never had that assurance. Just could never get that assurance. Just would never happen for me. Over and over and over and over again. And I struggled with that thing. And I struggled. And then finally the Lord just broke me one day. Willis Shankles was preaching the meeting. And I got saved. I got saved. I'm just telling you, if you don't have sober thinking, you're going to miss what God's trying to show you. If you're not vigilant on guarding what he's trying to show you, you're going to miss everything. You're going to miss the blessings. You're going to miss that train. I call it missing the mark. But anyway, John 17:50 says that he's prayed because he knew we were going to face evil in this world. He said, I don't pray, God, that you take them out, but I pray that you protect them from the evil in this world. Why? Because the devil's throwing the Christians into the lion's den. And you know, Christians are okay with that. I come to that conclusion. They don't mind being in the lion's den. We claim that we have all this power in Christianity, that we're just doing the right thing, and yet we have a losing battle on our hands. Where's the victory? Hey, let me tell you where the victory is at. It's in those churches that hold 4,000 to 7,000 people. Okay? It's in those that carry around those that I call perverted versions of the Bible. That's where the victory is at. That's where all the people are going. All those ones that were inoculating to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that's where they're going. Why? Because they can do whatever they want to. They have to face no consequence. Nobody holds them accountable. Live your life any way you want. Do whatever you want, and you're okay. I'm just telling you that now. They're going to wake up one day. This is it's appointed unto man to die once, and then judgment. Then the judgment. I know I have family members in the past year that I've buried, my father and all that. And the one thing I have to say about the whole thing is, they no longer have hope. It's over. They'll never hear the gospel again. They'll never hear the love of Jesus Christ. It's over with. There's nothing that can be done. It's over. They'll never see what Jesus Christ could have done for them. It's done for eternity. It's over. But everybody's okay with that. Everybody's all right with what's going on in America. I just tell you, people are so happy in America they have to pop pills. That's how happy we are.
Yeah.
We got to drink and do drugs because everything's just fine. We're okay. We don't need God. We don't need Jesus Christ. We'll just do what we have to. We'll just go out there and get the physicians to give us some pills, and we'll go out there. You know, everybody's always on my case about drinking soda. Why don't you get on somebody's case about drinking? Why are you always popping off on me about soda? That's how I feel. Everybody's so worried about me drinking the Pepsi. Why don't you go out there and go out to those who are drinking the beer, wine, liquor, who are destroying family. Hey, last time I checked, Amy, I don't think my Pepsi destroys our family, does it? But they're so worried about me drinking the Pepsi because it's a health food. Oh, so alcohol is. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's got wheat and barley and all that. You're right. It's a health food. We might as well make it a food group. Man. That's twisted. That's messed up. Hey, you know, Jesus is over here. You can get some help from him. It's going to be for eternity. But no, let me go to the physician who gave me a pill. I don't have to worry about what Jesus says because that'll numb my conscience and that'll numb me. I don't have to worry about answering to him. I can just go ahead and pop this thing and I'll be all right. Thank God that I had a psychiatrist sit there and tell me, Mr. Boy, there's nothing I can do for you anymore. So he told me. My wife was sitting there to witness. Thank God he told me. And thank God that Jesus Christ was able to come into my life. I was delivered from 19 psychotropic pills a day. That's how many I was taking when I met Pastor John. Why? They were to keep my head level because my anger was so intense. It was so violent that it was, when they read my brain waves, it was like I was having a grand mal seizure in my brain. That's how angry I used to get. And I used to take all these pills. It made me almost 300 pounds. But they were so apt that they needed to control me. They wanted to control my anger because I was afraid and they were afraid and my family was afraid. Here, let me just tell you this. Since Jesus has come into my life, I take zero Amen. Pills for anything.
Amen.
My blood pressure pills, regular medicine. How come it took Jesus Christ to calm my anger? Hey, remember that man, the Gardenians over there cutting himself and breaking chains? That was me. But what did it take to heal him? It took Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know the very first thing it says? That he was sitting. When they walked up, that he was sitting. That Jesus Christ calmed them down. Guess what? I can sit. I'm in my right mind and I'm clothed. You may not think so, but I am. I'm in my right mind compared to where I used to be. That's because Jesus Christ stepped into my life. That's because he came in there. You know, I didn't need a physician. He is a divine physician. You won't get technical. He brought healing into my life. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who delivered me from that stuff. I was alcoholic bad. I used to walk around, I had a 40 ounce in one pocket, Jack Daniels in the other pocket, and some drugs in the other, and I'd walk around like that 7 days a week, going to rehabs and everything else. Let me tell you what the rehab did for me. Nothing.
Right.
I came out an alcoholic. Guess what Jesus Christ did for me? Delivered me. Crystal meth, did it for 5 years, down to about 117 pounds, had sores and pock marks all over my body. Just absolutely, listen, I used to run down the street naked and the cops had to come chasing me because I'd bust out of the hospital. Guess what a rehab did for me? Kept me clean for 48 hours, then they sent me back out. I'm 260 some odd pounds. I don't smoke drugs. I don't do crack. I don't do heroin. I don't do none of that garbage. You know who delivered me from that? Jesus Christ did.
That's it.
I'd have to run to some man to do it for me. Because, you know, just let me just be honest with you. Man was too weak to control me. I'm just telling you the honest God truth. That was just it. I got a 17-page rap sheet to prove that to you. And it's all violence. And I'm not proud of it. But it's obvious to a duck that no man or anything that they could do could ever control somebody like me. All it took was Jesus Christ. Took Jesus Christ. Anybody want that in here who doesn't have it? Because it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what he wants. That repentance. He wants us to stop and think, go wait. The life I've been living, the things I've been doing, is something that, stop running from what he's showing you in your heart. Stop running from it. He keeps showing you over and over and over again, but you keep fighting and ignoring. Why? Don't you want that peace? Don't you want that victory? Let me just tell you, yeah, it's good that I know that I'm going to heaven. But you know what the best part is? I got a little bit of heaven right on earth.
Yeah.
When I go to sleep at night, I have a clean conscience. That's my pillow. How about you?
Thank God.
When I go to sleep at night, my kids are chucked into their bed. They're prayed up and ready for whatever's going to go on the next day. Guess what? I don't have some ladies or drugs or whatever going on. I don't have that laying next to me. I have a beautiful wife. My house is locked up. Bills are paid. Two dogs running around, some cars. Listen, that's just a little bit of stuff here. Listen, that stuff there doesn't even mean anything. I'm just telling you, from a person that had nothing, that came from the absolute streets, that came from the absolute gutters, I'm just telling you now, let me that little bit of stuff that I have here, it doesn't even touch what I'm going to get in eternity. But it's a blessing the Lord gave me. Not because I'm anything special, but I am his child. I may not be nothing to you, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm a child of God, just like anybody else who's saved in this room. I'm going to eternity. Listen, I'm going. I got a mansion waiting for me. My name is written in that book. I know. That's all right. I don't know why I got off on this tab. That's not even nothing I intended to preach. But thank God for him stepping in and me getting out of the way. Because I just tell you now, when I'm in the way, he can't work. I can destroy your life. I can't really help you unless God is helping me. That's just the truth. I don't know how to do it without him. I can't live life without him. I'm helpless without Jesus Christ. Is that good for you? Because that's how I feel. And I like being that way.
Yes.
I like being that way. Because that path of destruction and hurt and anger and pain, you can have all of it. Here. I'll show you the way to it. Go ahead. I'll continue to live in my life for Jesus Christ just like I am today. And I'll have that peace that passes all understanding. I tell you, let me just say this, and I'm going to close with this. It ain't easy living a Christian life in this world. But the stuff that I've been through, I live on easy street now. Jesus Christ came in and delivered me.
That's right.
Delivered me. I tell my wife, I said, honey, I know. Sometimes she don't understand things. I said, if you've been where I've been, we're on easy street.
Yeah.
And that's because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ had mercy on you. You didn't have to go through it. But it gave you a husband that went through it. Why? Because Jesus Christ knew that's what kind of man she needed. Imagine giving her some little wimpy man. They both got their emotions all wound up. Hey, who needs that? I'm just telling you. trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give everybody for what they need. I thank God for his deliverance. I thank God for what he's done in my life. If you didn't like what I had to say here tonight, that's fine. You take it up with God. I don't sit here and preach anything because I try to impress anybody, because I don't. I live my life for Jesus Christ, and I'd much rather do what he says. I'd much rather get his approval, even if it's a crappy message. Okay, I said crappy, okay? You'll go out there and watch TV, they're cussing, swearing, and half nakedness, but somebody will get up here and say some little off-color word. I mean, everybody just wants to get in an uproar. You should have been there the day I swore behind the pulpit. Remember that? Woo! I had no clue. Just got into preach. I was at probably fourth or fifth time getting up there. And I dropped the S-bomb. I just stopped. I froze. Pastor said, well, let's just pray. Keep it moving. But you know, there's no excuse for that kind of stuff going on, but it just shows you where I came from.
That's right.
You're talking 40, listen to me, 40 years of living that lifestyle.
Right, bro.
40 years. And then the Lord steps in. 40 years. Now I've been saved 3.5. Let's just see what the Lord's going to do. I have no clue what he's going to do, but I just know this. He's delivered me and my wife, and I'm very thankful for what he's done. And I'm done. Are we singing?